you're listening to Making a Mentor, the podcast that turns artists into mentors. We speak to everyday musicians, producers, promoters, and anyone working in the music industry. We get an honest picture of what it's actually like to build a career in music. So follow us and learn from the people who are where you want to be. In this episode, we talked to Caned, a punk-funk band from St. Helens. They gave us some tips on how they make relationships with promoters and discuss how their open and honest band dynamic has been key to their writing process and live performances. Join us in the studio with Caned.
Right, welcome to Making a Mentor. We're here with Caned. Thank you guys for coming down.
Welcome. Thanks for having us.
Do you just want to give us a quick introduction as to who you guys are and who plays what?
Well, so I'm Andy Lynch, and I'm vocals.
I'm Jake the Safe, I play rhythm and vocals.
I'm Nathan Edge, I play the drums.
I'm Nathan Appleton, I play bass and backing.
I'm Danny, and I just fuck about on stage and play the guitar.
Smashing. Cool. So we kind of noticed really that you guys are really heavily influenced with live. You guys have a lot of live events going for you at the minute, and we kind of want to delve a bit into that. But first, do you want to talk about how you guys met and how you guys became a band?
Yeah, well,
start with you, Nathan.
Well, it was I was doing my own stuff anyway, and I messaged you in that because
I got kicked out of a different band. I got kicked out of a band, and then like I thought like I might not be playing much anymore, and then within like 2 weeks he does
like an angel from above.
He messaged me and was like, do you want to get something going? So I was like, I do, if it's like a band, not like Jake and the Dickheads, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, okay.
Behind you. So it was like, yeah. And then, like, just went from there, didn't it? Like, it was me and another lad at first. Then we found Nath. Then I met Andy in the pub. And then I met Danny at a taxi, right?
Year and a half ago, none of us knew each other. Then you met him in the pub, didn't do any fucking rapping.
Yeah, so basically when lockdown first got lifted, and you could go to the pub again, like, walked into this beer garden. I was with the missus at the time, who knew the girls he was with, and they was all bladded. And so I started off DJing at 16, and doing club MCing.
50 years ago.
just after the Battle of Hastings. Yeah, good times. And so they know me for, like, MCing and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they go, Andy, give us a rap, give us an MC. And then the mister was pissed. He'll rap about anything he wants, and it'll rhyme. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. And then, so did a bit of freestyling, and he's like, yeah, it's all right, that lad should write it down. So it's like, I do, got the phone out, because, like, in my own time, started actually writing songs as well.
Yeah.
And then we got the song, so show, got talking, and a couple of weeks later, rang me up and asked me to come down and do a bit of work with the band.
And then the first time you come to practice.
So they had a song called Fly Away, and I just sat down, I was in my work clothes full of adhesive and everything, and started playing, got halfway through the song, stood up, went, stop, right.
Oh, no, only for 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Like, shut up, right. Shut up.
Your introduction needs to be like this. Go on, I said, stop your chorus loops for your verse loops, do that. I say, don't come in with 16 bar riffs, sample it and lead into it. I like a bit conductor there, and then you're all looking like, who's this? Sat down, and it worked, and I went home buzzing. And I got home, and I sat down, chuffed myself, and I thought, oh, they're going to think I'm a bellend. You've never met me before. I'm going to go, stop, don't do that, do this. Or, nah, they're not having me back. Like,
me and him got in the car afterwards, and just looked at each other and went, fucking knackered. I've been in there for like an hour. It was like, I'm knackered.
Yeah.
You know, you need a person like that in a band, though. You need someone like you guys. I assume will feel this. Is there's nothing you can't say to each other.
No,
something shit, and you've got to play it out.
And we are a band of equals in this band. There's no star person. We all
first thing you said to me, man, it was
bring
no ego.
We all have such good qualities what work well together. You take one of us out of this band and you can hear something's missing.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. We're all on the same page. There's no one person going, it's because of me, it's us as a group. And that's the main key why I think when we do perform live, it is so good because you can feel the energy together, the connection.
It's
what
just
we have.
It's natural as well. It's not forced. That's what you can tell when we play live as well. It's not forced. It's not like
we enjoy
like
ourselves.
We do them two steps here and then do a little dance here. It's,
I get the sense you've got like a high energy, like in terms of the when you perform.
Yeah,
is that right?
Very, very high energy.
It's always a calm before the storm.
There's just not really that much calm, though.
It's just
storm all the time.
So yeah, like what would you think you would say, like based on like the energy that you have, if you like were to meet a young band now that were like just starting out that you felt like didn't have that kind of connection, like what would you say to them about what has helped you in terms of the band energy? Do you know what I mean?
Don't be afraid to speak up and don't be afraid to show any ideas that you've got, because like I always said to these, I'm more like lyrical. Yeah. I've said to them, lyrics, you let me know what they are. There's no such thing as a bad lyric. It may just not fit that song. It can be idolised.
Yeah, like that's
later on down the line in another song.
Andy, that one week, mate, like that's like me and him was just we had practice.
Yeah.
And then it was always me and him. Like we'd finish practice, because you had a bird, didn't you? But these two had birds, so they'd go back home. And me and him would be like, fucking, I'll have a drink.
Write some lyrics.
He fucking he put like an instrumental on YouTube, and I was like, this bird tried it on with loads of us, and. In this room.
Not this room.
I know.
Back in the day.
She just didn't get as far as she wanted.
Yeah, but like, it was just like some of the lyrics, like, I just like come up with like fucking three or four lines or something, and then it just was by the end, like, within 10 minutes, it was a tune. Do you know what I mean? It was
I just need an idea to go off, and then my ADHD kicks in.
Yeah. And
I'm like, got it.
I'd say, for a band's got a don't force it.
No.
If it doesn't work, you don't force, because we
go back to it.
We see bands
time,
on stage as well, and you can tell it's like, like I said, then I'll do this little step here, and then I'll look like I'm jumping about here, but you can tell it's forced. You can tell when it's natural.
Yeah, so like natural stage presence.
Yeah.
Rather than like plan it out.
Yeah, definitely.
If you force it, it can become a bit cringy and a bit.
We don't plan it.
We're just not got a dance teacher. That's what it is.
That's what I went on.
So in terms of your practices, like you were talking about, like, you know, you kind of share writing. Do you write in the room when you're practicing?
As well as,
both,
so like everywhere, you bring stuff in as a group, like, I wrote this the other day.
So we've got a song, Johnny Rush, that, like, I'd had most of them lyrics written down a long time ago. For example, like, I used to come in off a night out, and if I felt, like, influence, I'd be writing, and I've actually just, like, swerved work to finish a song. It's been 7 o'clock in the morning, I've got two verses written, I've got ideas for another two verses, getting picked up in half an hour, I'm not well, sir. I'm not too good today. But this was, like, 8 years ago, this.
Well,
like,
I was going to say, we won't send this to you.
Dan would say to him, like, I've got these lyrics, and he's like, what was that again? I've got a chorus that I've written 3 years ago, and then we've got a song.
He'd come in with lyrics he wrote 10 years ago, and I'd be like, oh yeah, before we met 4 years ago, I've got this chorus which fits him absolutely perfectly. Yeah, it's a bit mad, like,
it is.
It's fun though, because like there's other, like, what now? that's one of the other songs, but we'd just be pissing about in the practice room, and then like, we didn't have lyrics, we'd just be jamming, and then it'd be like, say what now though, and then it went from saying what now in that little gap. So by the end of practice, the fucking song was good.
I find some of the best songs. Like, the ones that just take like 20 minutes to write, and they just it's just a spark.
But we do jam in practice, and like we just improv, and some I'd be like, slow that down, but there you go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How many times that happen? Or speed it up.
Or speed that riff up there. I've got something that'll go with.
See, I can't write music, can't read music, but I can hear music.
Yeah.
This is the only guy that could decipher my sounds. He can't make them noises on the drum kit. It's not available. You can't make them sounds. Bro goes to bass name from there. He'll go like, go boom, boom. He's like, what, like this? I'm like, exactly. I'm like, you're the only cheap box. He's like, big lights, shuts down, payload along. Like, yes. And then he comes in with a riff. He's like, I've got these drum loops here now. And then he just escalates. But that's the natural chemistry that we have, and I think that's what is a big key now.
So what about 1 week, like, how was that created, like, in terms of, like, in the room, how did you make that reason?
So that was done, like we were saying, it was me and Nathan.
We might not be able to tell a story, because
we don't want to drag the party
She's into this.
Yeah, all right. We've got that.
So,
basically, moving on.
An issue was raised. We were faced with this, not such a problem, but interesting scenario, I'm going to say. And he came up with an opening line, like, one slip, one fall. And then that's all I need. If I've got the subject in my head, and an opening line, especially, like, I went off on one, and then I'd give it, yeah, that's cool, but what about this for you?
That door.
And then I'd be like, right, okay, we'll put that in, but we're going to have to change this. And then we just kind of experimented with it. And then within, 15 minutes, we had the main two verses. And
mate, that's
what was the recording process like? So you guys have just released it as a new single this week, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh, well, the recording process.
We did it in Wellington. We drove down for the first day. And I picked them all up, because, well...
A taxi driver.
I'm the only one who can drive. He can, but...
He's had three bands.
But, so I pick them up, and then I get to his, and he comes out, and he gets in the car. Let's fucking go. You get there, to
no
be fair.
No for us, by the way.
To be fair, he smashed out the drums, to be fair.
It's because it's the first thing
but
you did.
Dave was supposed to be bass and drums. Day two was guitars and vocals, but we had it done in
the half hours. We did a song a day.
So so you guys have finished your drums, you finished your bass, yeah? What, did you wrangle everybody else in?
We all went together. So we just got it smashed in. So we did two songs in 2 days, but then by the end of the first day we tried to do another one and he just completely slacked.
We did the backing track and that, and then it was like, right, I'm fucking ready. I think we had the drums in two takes. I was like, that's fucking boss, use that, like, sounds.
But he was hyped up on the drums doing something, and then he had to wait for the bass, he had to wait for the rhythm, the lead, the vocals to go. So by this time, he's holding the tune in the corner.
And I'm going, rocker,
right, we've got time left, let's utilise this time, we've got it, and Bianucci's going, shh. And I looked at him, I looked at him, went,
call her.
I said, we're back tomorrow, man, start again fresh.
So does that mean, you mentioned there you did two singles, yeah?
The second one I'm not happy with, and it needs
tweaking.
And plus, since Danny's come in, and we've in practice,
because he's better on guitar than me,
right? So in practice,
have him on guitar instead.
We've improved a new, like, we've tweaked it in certain places. He's put his little stamp on it as well, so that we're going to redo that. It'd just be a waste to send that one out now when it's trying to do its best. Do you know what I mean? It's a lot better now than it is.
Yeah, it's good that you got that integrity of it. Which studio did you do it
at? Matchbox Productions.
No way. So you guys already knew Matchbox Productions?
Well, no, we didn't. He used to work with the kid, but he didn't know it was the lad who did it.
Yeah.
We got there and he's like,
fucking hell, lad, you always said you wanted to do this. He's right there.
It's weird. Because like, when I used to work with him, like, it was only some shitty office job, but like, I used to sit like close to him. But like, you know, when you go out for ciggies and like music brings people together, so you're talking and that. And he was always saying like, he'd always be going like, oh, I've been to uni, done music, I want to open up my own studio and that. Yeah, but like, you know what, like when with you,
people say that.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, fuck off.
And he's done.
And then I turned up to fucking record a song, and I was like,
you've done it!
You're living the dream!
The dramatic like reverse of Nathan within an hour. Boom! Rock bottom.
For you guys, is this your first recording?
It was my first time in a proper studio.
Yeah.
Like proper setup. Like, I enjoyed it. Remember you said the same. All it made was when I got home, I was like,
I don't want to work anymore.
The next day, my 9 to 5, and I was like, this is fucking shit.
This is not for me.
I
said to him, we had 2 days off, got up in the morning, bang, off to the studio, doing something you absolutely love, creating music.
Yeah.
Some music what we believe in as well. Mm. And like,
it just
elevates you in life, like the way you feel about yourself as well. Music's a brilliant thing, especially when you're creating your own, rather than just like a cover band, and you know.
It's a hell of a drug.
Is it all your dreams for this to be full-time job?
Oh, 100%.
I've always been...
You know what? I wouldn't even take being fucking... If I could just get by, I wouldn't even want to fucking... I mean, it'd be nice just
enough to have the money from your job.
It'd be nice to have a mansion in the fucking hills and a pool and that. But if I could just get by doing it, then I'd be happy, mate. We're coming to these bands, these guys though, is very different music for me as well. So it's nice. It's fucking,
you come from a different background.
It's expressive. When, like,
when he first came down, it's only like the other month, and he messaged me and was like, "Oh, this new lad coming down. Like, he's asked his needs to learn any certain chords now." And he said that, and I thought, "Oh, fucking hell, I hope he's not shitting." I come down and I went, "Oh, you've been playing for a while." And he went, "Yeah, yeah, well, I used to play in jazz bands doing 3-hour improv sets." And I was like, "Oh, fucking sad. Yield D for me, son.
Jake Hollins is in the pretty league inside out. I picked up his rhythm.
Basically,
like, put one down, pick your own up, wait, all right, crack on. Looks like I'm back here again.
It's good though. It's different though, and it's a bit more what I've been wanting to do for a while, because it's a bit more expressive and it's loud. It's got a certain amount of anger to it, which I enjoy as well.
Very loud.
And I feel like it's some of like the purest type of like music that you can make. It's something that connects to something that's so angry at the same time as like.
Especially in this day and age, what's going on, and like the government basically absolutely shagging everyone.
Tell them about
Nala. Oh yes, the tune we have now. Public Enemy Number 10. It's basically just about our fucking Boris has absolutely shafted everyone.
Go ahead.
It's an angry, angry tune. Yeah. We always end on it, and it's like smashing guitar.
Would you say you're a
Jake's more the political influence in it. You have an Institute Political Stuff fire.
Well, I'm into hating Tories.
That's poor as fuck, you know what I mean? Yeah. You don't want the fucking Tories running shit.
Yeah. Well, that's what, like you said, then everyone poured. Our first gigs, like, the places we were playing, we were having to bring down, we were having to bring down our own PA, our own mix desk, our own speakers and everything, and we literally had to fucking beg, borrow and steal just to get all the equipment ready.
Yeah.
And then we fucking broke up.
We broke it, now I've got a fat bill.
That's a different story.
It's not though as well, because like getting to practice and stuff. Like fitting it in with work. I mean, with me, like my work can finish at 8 o'clock at night sometimes. So it's sometimes hard for me. Like as well as not driving. Like this guy walks for miles, Nathan on bass, will walk for miles to practice.
It is that's what I would say for like bands up and coming and wanting to do it, like you can't go into it thinking it's a walk in the park and a piss take. If you want to do it, it's fucking hard work.
Yeah,
it's a job. Well, exactly. It's a lot of commitment.
Punctuation's like a fucking massive key in it, which is mad. Punctuation's like a massive key in it, which is mad.
That's the first thing you said to me. It was like, yeah, I'll fucking start a band, but it's commitment from day one. It's not like half-arse.
I want to be practicing at least twice a week.
Yeah.
Just to get it out. Do you know what I mean?
It's stuck a while. I found therapy music. That's why I do writing.
100%. Like even just being in this band has got me through a lot of shit.
Oh, definitely. Like it's fucking. It does help.
We've got four new brothers. You know what I mean? It's like fucking. We're not like. It sounds like daft, but like we are mates and that. But any fucking shit, don't matter what it is, it's just like Gizabel and Bird, you know what I mean?
It started as music, but it goes beyond the music now. But that's the thing that's bringing you together.
It's sort of like, you know, you play for a footy or rugby team and you have that one in all in and you have that close knit with the lads.
Yeah.
It's like that, but on a music level.
Yeah.
I mean, we always get naked in the changing room together as well.
Drink each other's piss and all that.
I'm always dropping that soap.
would you say in terms of like, so we reached out to you guys and asked you if you wanted to be on, and you talk about how you guys are all have influences within the band. Is there one person that runs all of the social content and runs the management?
He doesn't know how to use a computer because he's from the 1700s, right? He doesn't know how to use a computer.
I'm getting there though, QWERTY and all that. I need to learn the QWERTY. But with me, like, I go through 3 phones this year.
This fucking week.
I break my phones constantly.
Them too.
All the time.
They're fucking
weird. So social's not my thing.
So we're in April now.
Yes.
Man,
it does click.
I'm not lying. Just for the record, I'm showing a busted phone right now. Right, and see, that was fully charged and now it's dead. This is trouble I have. I feel sorry for him because, like, we're on a Facebook group. but I can't get on Facebook because my phone's knackered. Yeah. So he's got to go on the Facebook group, then translate it to me in text message. Now I'm back and forth with him, and oh, it's
like a PA.
Yeah.
Manager, PA.
And to be honest, oh, so, is he, it would either be him or him. Like, Danny's pretty new, but me and him can't be fucking trusted.
No, I don't think he can be trusted yet. Anything that requires responsibility as in like organisation, it's got to be the Easter, it's got to be Jay Corney.
I trust Danny with the Instagram.
I just don't use social media, so.
So what about the gigs in like the early days? Because like, you talked a bit outside about having relationship with venues where you play there once and they play you again. Like, I think a lot of bands feel like they'd be interested to know, like, especially when they're starting out, like how you get a relationship with a venue where they.
The first proper live one we did was Vault St Helens, but that was alright because I'm mates with the lad who owns it, so he got us in there sound. And the ones after that, it's more just, it's who you know, and like you said, it's just going in, chatting shit and being like, yeah, to do live music, yeah, we're in a band, yeah, fucking hell, get us on. Yeah, here's a video.
To be honest, if you treat people with mutual respect, like, you don't. So, for example, the last one at Wigan, there was a band on before us, and the lad on stage, he's got so much potential, but he was nervous. So, like, literally, when he was getting nervous and that, I was running up to him, going, come on!
And they crashed the car after
him, come on! And he was, like, egging him on, like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think if just treat other bands the way you want them to treat you. Rather than being a competition, just enjoy
people's music.
There's nothing worse than you go in and you see a band and it's like
we showed up and all the other bands there that were none of them wanted to speak.
They come off after us, the other bands, well before them, and we're like, sing that, well done, then we looking down the nose and that, and it's like,
because you support quite a lot, so that would give me the inclination that you have quite good relationships with other bands.
Yeah, definitely. But like you said,
it's not only that though; it's because we're hungry for it. So we've not got this we're not supporting no one. We're better than that.
Yeah. We're literally
anywhere, anyone.
We were just about to play a fucking Easter egg.
Easter egg.
Some new crowds.
Exactly.
Your chance to sell to like.
Exactly. Exactly. We've practiced twice a fucking week for a reason. Like, and I'm not.
You want to
the reason is the gigs. Like,
it's the reason why I've got no ears, man.
If you're doing it that much, though, what the fuck are you doing it for if it's not to show people? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, get out and do it.
I think people get lost in what music is these days. Do you know what I mean? And I think people just need to realise that the music is just about having fun constantly.
Exactly.
It's about making you feel good and like, I've been through periods
before I met these guys. I had a period where I didn't make any music for ages apart from just doing my acoustic stuff and singing and shit. And yeah, it's just fucking, you get lost in yourself, and if I'm honest, you get a bit depressed not fucking making music. It's like you give an artist a book and say you can't draw, and they just...
That's exactly what it is.
And that's what it is, do you know what I mean? I think it's nice being able to be with a bunch of people who aren't judgmental, who are lovely people. You can have a good time. Can we all get a pint now? Is that all right?
That Wigan gig, what he's on about, like, the promoter came up to us because they had a little fucking green room outside, didn't they?
Yeah.
He got some bevies, got pizzas, and he was like, it's because I want all the bands to be, like, networking and getting on with each other.
Yeah. That was an excellent talk.
I said to him, listen, like I was saying, we practice twice a week for a reason. I was like, anytime you need a gap filling, mate, just fucking bell one of us and we'll be there. It don't matter when it is, we'll fucking move shit around to be there, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just the commitment you need to have that conversation, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that works so well with that Wigan gig as well, because you'd said that, she had it in his head already, and we come off, and he said when we come off, he was like, I fucking love bands like you, because we hadn't had anything released at the time. And he was like, so you don't know what to expect, and he smashed it. And like we said before, he was like, I've been saying to you, he's outside. 2 days later, he messaged us and was like, fuck, he's on the next one. He's on the next one.
I think us doing that Wigan gig was a real turning point for us. I think we took it up another level. Yeah. I think it made us realise what we actually can do. Because, like I said, when you're on stage, with the lights in your face, you can't see exactly what's going on up there. But after when we spoke to the guy, he was like, halfway through your first song, everyone was watching you. Third song in, everyone was in front of you. He said, now the headline didn't even have the atmosphere. We're obviously not taking away anything from them, but I think as well that's our energy. our connection on stage, the fun factor.
Well, definitely.
Just draw, he said you drew everybody
on
in.
Stage.
No, but that's the thing, like you just said then, when you realise what you've got, like, because I always had, like, and this will go for new bands up and coming, trying to start out, like, I always had a bit of a fucking complex in my head where I'd be, like, doing gigs and, like, your mates are going, I'd fucking sick that, you know, it's sick, and I've always got in the back of my head, like, are you just saying that because you're my mate?
Yeah.
Or do you, like, yeah, you
actually think it? It's the mate that turns your tune on and goes,
That's the thing. Like, and then, and then you exactly, but then you play it in front of a room of random people. Because we didn't break, we brought two people down to that Wigan gig, and one of them was me fucking missus. So. but then you've got a room full of random people, and the other bands, and the fucking fella putting the show on going, that was amazing, we're booking you on the next show. 2 days later, the messaging, that's when you're like, oh, hang on, like, might actually have some of
it. What I'm loving at the minute with these live shows is, like, because our songs, no one knows us, but because the way we write our songs, with the riffs we play, and the way we structure the songs,
It's very relatable,
it's people. They pick up on things. The lyrics are simple but effective. Yeah. The riffs are catchy. So, like, halfway through the song, he's never heard the singing it.
Do us an MC then.
That's, like, mind blowing. So instantly, people to be like.
That's one of the hardest things for a band who has an audience that's never heard them before.
Yeah.
That's a big feat to
a lot of people, I think, bands feel insecure about. Going to a venue and playing, even if they're developed. But you seem like you kind of thrive on kind of new crowds.
Yeah, I
think we perform better in front of a neutral crowd, because we literally, like, right, we've got to show these what we can do. This is not what makes
sense. Well, that's what, especially as well, I feel like the lyrics we write, the lyrics we write round where we've played so far, so it's been a lot of Northwest, it's working class.
Yeah,
and the lyrics we write are like, about being fucking skint and about being on the dole and about going through hardships and coming out of it the other end.
Dirty
and
tramps.
That's what it's about though, because, like, we only write what's, like, fucking,
that's what you're going
you can
through
see
interview.
Before, yeah, and, like, and that's the thing, and it's about, like you say, music gets you through shit, and it's about going through them hard times, and then you fucking write a tune like that, and you feel 10 times better about yourself at the end of it, and it's like a release, and it's like writing a fucking diary. And
it's therapy music. That's
what I'll always respect people who get on stage and, like, and they go for it, because for me it's like just bearing your soul on stage for people to say it. It takes a lot of fucking bottle. It takes a lot of fucking bollocks to go up and do it.
Recessions and depressions.
Give me a little bit. That all under drugs.
So, like, just before, because we'll have a break in a minute now. So what would you say to that? Maybe a band that are, like, maybe a little bit more developed, but maybe have, like, more of an attitude focused on recording and getting, like, digital tunes out there and aren't as gifted as you, like, that live aspect.
Don't walk away from your authenticity, is it?
I think you're not about
it. Like, if you're getting a bit too... If you're producing good music, and then people, that's good, but then they watch you and, like... People listening to your streams and no one comes to your shows, and at the end of the day, what is it actually about?
I think,
like,
as well, if you go... If you
start
go,
at the bottom, work your way up.
If you're going in recording, because the way we tend to record, we pretty much record it as it is live. So, like, we get the first track...
There's no clicks and nothing.
Our first track, we get down, like... that we fucking go off is we're just all playing live. So I think bands need to be careful with when they go into recording, and you record, mate, fucking, like, 7 guitar parts and 3 bass parts, and then you come to doing it live, and it's the difference.
Your live gigs
are your bread and butter, because at the end of the day, like, with how Spotify and streaming is now, you make fuck all money off streams.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Fuck all money off gigging, like.
Surely any band, well, I don't want to offend anyone here, but surely, like, it's got to be about the live performance. Surely that's where the enjoyment comes from, rather than being sat. Although it's good being in the studio and creating music, but releasing your energy and leaving it all on stage and, like, actually first-hand seeing people's reactions to what you're doing. And then, yeah, it is the compliments after. That was sick, you've never heard it before. Yeah, oh, can I follow you? That interaction with the actual people themselves, rather than we've got 1,000 likes, 200 plays, get in. It's like one-on-one personal interaction.
It's energy.
That's what fuels you want to do better as well.
I think the thing is as well, like, because as you just said, if people haven't really played live, like, for me, the hardest thing was just, like, you've got to fucking break through the wall and just get up and do it the first time.
You've got to see
it. Because I was fucking shitting myself. Like, first time I played, it was like on my own acoustic and I was bricking it. And then,
it's like,
blokes
up when you forgot the words.
It's fucking.
You know, when I met him, yeah, I was like, you know, with the other band, I was like, I've been, this is the shit I've been doing. He was like, lad, I played after you at one of the fucking games. Yeah. I'm like,
is that you? Then, you were so rememberable, bro. I totally knew it.
No, but after I did that first gig, I got off and it was like, Like we are now, we get off and we're like, let's get up again. Well, I want to get up again right now. And like, it's just getting up first.
Well,
getting
our second game was a clock sock. It was a festival. There's two big massive tents, right? Off the stage, spewed up.
Oh, wow, gave me a ring up, the cameraman came over.
What,
as in like nerves or like
piss? I drink shitloads of water. And it was just bouncing around, and I was like, did he come straight up?
And he's like, the cameraman's next to him going, as a boss show at me.
No, it wasn't. I was literally packing up my gear and then turned my corner and all of it.
The cameraman came over. I'm sure he was just to see if it was okay. But then he was like, you guys need a big stage, you need a big stage, because that was a showstopper, and that was our second gig. Even from that, from a neutral person, again, doesn't know us, does photography at all these gigs and stuff, to listen to that, like, and he's a full on rocker as well, he had an AC/DC top on, so, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He knows his shit, qualified, pundit, obviously.
Before we did any gigs, we fucking practiced for, like,
because we got together in the lockdown, didn't we, and, like, we were practicing through the lockdown, because we're just, like, fucking real breakers.
We wanted to...
You know, like, stay away from... We do a couple of covers, but it's, like, mashups with his DJ, and, like, he sort of intertwines them. It was like, stay away from covers. So it was like, we needed that time to get the fucking songs down. Do you know what I mean?
Because that's the first thing you said to me was,
get seven songs, we'll go from there. And then by the time we give ourselves a thing, we had like 10. So he was like, fuck this, we're gigging. Do you know what I mean?
It's been about 18 months we've been together now.
Yeah.
We've got 16 original tracks.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good progression.
Do you know what? It's really interesting you say that, because I think a lot of bands, what they'll do is they'll get really hyped up. They've got three tunes, and they get super hyped up. They'll maybe pick some covers out, and within the second week, they're like, oh, please, can we play somewhere? And there's one way of doing that, which is obviously building it up. But you guys have done something which, if you look anywhere else in the industry, they consistently recommend is build up that consistency, build up that schedule. So once you guys do launch yourself out into the world,
you've got a whole set there to do. You can do half hour set, you can do it.
Where we started, but
I like you said that, because the fucking song we've literally just been working on, like we did ages ago, and then it
got put on the back burner because it wasn't perfected, and we actually had gigs coming up, so we had to like prioritise the ones
there. We've had that song for months, forgot about it, and then he was like, I found this recording on my laptop, like, let's do this again, and then we heard it, and my missus is with now,
she went, why have I not heard this? I went, because it's just been put on the back burner. She punched me in the arm, she went, you need to get on to this now. I was like, all right, I know it really is good, innit? And then I saw these, and then we had practice on Wednesday and Thursday, and it's pretty much there now, innit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's getting
there. It's
not there. It's pretty much there,
isn't it? It's not, because there's about fucking 10 choruses in it. It's like, I'm just trying to remember when they all are.
At Chester, so we was the last on.
They said get the three was on 11. Because
they were using my amp, so they said get there for three. So the day before, we're still trying to sort a fucking minibus down to get all the kit down with us, because my dad didn't fancy driving it all to Chester. Because he was in fucking work, to be fair.
That's self-responsible.
So we get there and we set up, and like you said,
the van was big enough though, wasn't it?
We get there at three, and then so we set up and that, and then like you just said, it's just because there's a bar there and they're saying you can have drinks and you're on at 11, so you're gonna get pissed. So yeah, we did.
Yeah, and just getting pissed and then
drumsticks
just
were flying.
So it was the second to last song.
We was halfway through the set and I see two drumsticks fly past my head. Some poor girls in the crowd like that. And I turned around and said, doing that? And he was like, we're finished. I was like, fucking not, lad, we've got five songs left. He's like, oh sorry, yeah. I'm like, ah, had that drumstick back. Back from your eye, please, love. Sorry, yeah. Just yeah. Held you. Yeah, literally, yeah.
That
was a fucking.
You know what? Let's not talk about Chester.
You know what? You know what? It was a good do, because it was like a charity gig. Glow, it was called. Like, fucking shout out to them. They put a fucking good show on and it raised like a grand for charity. But yeah, we enjoyed it, but we really ended up scrapping after it.
Yeah. But, yeah. So after the gig, like, I was like, right, I looked at Nathan, and before he even turned my head, Jake was in him going, me, 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 me. I thought, right.
I was like,
he's having a word with him there, like, you know.
Some burn goals, fucking black ass. Some burn.
He was flowing around the courtyard afterwards, blood like that, going, sound.
But look like that, though, because it was literally... almost on the day, he fucking, yeah. His mum turned around to us like, we know this woman who hires minibuses for
Hogwarts.
So she, yeah, so fucking, yeah, yeah, so it's like, so we bail this woman up, it's like, yeah, yeah, we'll get you a guy, he'll give you a lift. So we turn up at Jake's, start loading up all the gear. Fucking Lansbury Bridge, which is a special needs school in St. Helens. On the back.
We're all in it like that.
We're all sat in it.
We're all colouring books. Right, so step this down, I'm away in crayon.
That's weird. That's what we always end up in fucking gigs as well. I'm like, to the bar. You got just a rip off a receipt, love, so I can write the set list out, please. Just fucking forget shit. Like,
I saw that actually on your Instagram post. I think it was maybe your first or your second post. It's like some A4 scrap of paper turned around and like in blue,
it's still research.
I'm doing my research.
If advice to new bands and that, and trying to like master your live performances as well. A lot of bands have a set list, yeah. But not every song works in every venue. It's like, because we've got like 15, 16, we'll absorb the atmosphere a bit. If we're not on first and we're on second or third, we kind of get a feel for like what the audiences are reacting to, and we can like adapt our set list.
Yeah, because we've done it on the fly before, and literally just turn around mid-set and be like, that next song's not going to work.
That's not going to go anywhere in this venue.
You adapt it to what's going on.
Yeah, because like you were saying before, that's the benefit of having a fucking good backlog of tunes before you start.
Yeah.
Like you said, some bands get three songs and they're like, yeah, that's a fucking gig. And then they might get to a situation like that where it's like, right, everyone's active as fuck, but this next song's like fucking moody as fuck.
It's a difficult thing. Is that what you think when you have some that are lower energy? That some crowds you might feel like everyone's,
I don't really think any of our
like
songs
that,
are,
I think it'll work.
As a kind of as an outsider coming into these guys as a new guy, I don't really think any of their songs are really low energy.
You seem like low energy.
You do not.
I'm happy to be of any band that don't mind me getting naked on stage. and the last gig, they didn't mind me getting naked on stage.
You're starting the jazz guitarist that gets naked. Like, I don't get this.
So real jazz. Jake sent me the pictures from the Wigan gig, and I was looking through them all, and then it comes up, Danny's got his top on, his guitar's around the back of his head, it's under his leg, it's up his ass, it's everywhere, right? And then the next picture is Nathan on the drums looking at Danny going, what's he doing? And then you see his face, you go, and changing there, and then he goes back to that, he's like, ah, like, you know, he's looking at him, like, do you know what I mean? It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
That's the thing, like, at that last Wigan gig, because the set was very fucking,
it was
a loud, active set, but that's the thing, like,
I think it's the most aggressive set we've ever done.
Yeah.
it worked for that venue.
Well, that's the thing, like, at a venue like that, like, if we had a fucking, because we've got Burning Out, it's quite a slow one, isn't
it? And Fly Away.
That's
in the bin,
though. I fucking wrote that, lad.
Let him go.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that Burning Out, like, tune we've got, it's quite, it's a bit more of a fucking slow one, like, But like that's one of them, because we used to do that second to last. But like at that Wigan gig, it just like you said, then it wouldn't have worked.
It'd have dropped.
So you've got to drop them. You've got to kind of like assess the crowd as you're there, kind of thing. And be able to on the fly turn around, and that's the benefit of having a decent backlog. On the fly, turn around and go, listen, that's not going to fucking work.
I mean, that's where my DJing experience comes in, because when you
used to be a DJ, that's
really.
I've never
heard of it. Just sounds more about that, hasn't
it? I've never thought it before. I'd be surprised, but yeah, I used to do a bit. You know, but it is like you can't. As a DJ, you can't turn up the set list. You got to play to a crowd.
Wait,
so see if like you've got a high energy like crowd. If you play like one that's a little bit more, you know, like you would say isn't that. Do you know what I mean? That you're describing. Do you think it's hard to then win the crowd back?
Depends on what you've got to follow, because as well, when people book you, they want to sell drinks behind the bar. If you're too high octane, people are dancing, they're not buying drinks.
So it's
having that right balance.
I feel like we make up for that though. You're taking the piss.
That's why you don't make any money.
It's just having that right structure to think, and feeling the crowd, feeling what they're feeling. If you're only on for half an hour, you can get away with it. Doing an hour set, you can't just bang out absolute belters for an hour, they all get fucked. Do you want to go out for a cig? You'll lose your audience.
Mate, to be fair though, like some of the gigs where it's like we've done, it's like 2:45 sets, and then like, so we'll start, we have a jam, then we go into the songs, and then like same again when we come back on, we jam. But some of them fucking jams we've done, mate, I'm like, I hope some dickhead was recording that, because like I want to.
The first live gig we played in Vals, we did like a jam at the beginning, like we usually do, and he was like, because he was like a fucking freestyles and shit, don't he? And he was just like proper ripping into people in the crowd, like taking the piss out of them. Some kid came up to us at the end, and he went, oh, were they all like your mates? How did you know what they were all going to wear? I was like, what? He's like, well, he's obviously wrote that down. And I was like, nah, let's off the top of his head that night. He's fucking sound.
Yeah. He does get on one though, or something. You're like,
well, if we're in that zone, they just go, oh, he's on one. We'll just have to put up with him for today. But it's the same in practice. I can see him go, he's turned up today, fucking hell. Alright, we'll try that, alright.
I think the best example of this, we finished playing the gig and we went to a bar in St. Helens and they had this thing called Katarioki.
Oh, fucking
and
hell.
He took over me.
Like, well, they, not me, but they took over.
He jumped on stage and it was supposed to be like, you just sing the song, then you move on. He stayed on for 20 fucking minutes.
Proper freestyle.
I said, start with Eminem, lose yourself, and we'll wing it. So, and he looked at, the guy looked at me and I'm going, okay then, so he's there playing, doing music, and then a bit of
ended up like, the bar was fucking full. People are filming it and that. He's just going
I'm for like, it. And he was just flipping it, like changing tracks and stuff, and changing rhythms and tempos, and it just was dropping everything. It was just one of them things where everything worked. So when you're in sync with someone, and he just kept going, do another. And he's playing, and then you all come in, he's going, go on, carry on. Anyways, big build up here now, build up there. And I'd be like, 3, 2, and drop something else, and he was there just smiling, like, going, anyways. Bring it to an end now, you've been on long enough.
3 hours later.
He's like, you've been in the
gym. Coming up to close it down.
I can tell this.
So, as a band, you guys are very well closely connected, you're very well knit. What is the biggest challenge that you all face?
We're starting out. It's the cost. It does cost a lot. Like it's expensive. Like getting to and from gigs, especially when you fucking get into a pub gig and you fucking took two cars down there and they pay you £60 and you spend £200 behind the bar anyway. It's cost and it is. I feel like we're quite lucky with all those. I feel like. If commitment can be a fucking hard thing, but with all us, I feel like we're all fucking well up for it. But with other bands, I suppose, like, it's getting your fucking timings lined up and shit. Like,
for all of us, if one of us is down, the rest step up and chip in, so we stay as a team.
I see these boys, and I was like, you know what, I'll check my balance since I've known these boys and how much I've spent. I've known these boys for I looked at my bank and I was like, I wonder how much I've spent over the last month. It came to £1,654 since I've known these boys.
That's the cost of being in a band that everyone
likes.
It's the cost of being in this band.
It's really cheap, really.
We got about 40 quid each a gig as well, so that's
the hard thing, especially with the big Yeah, you don't see
it. You want more than me, that's why.
No, that's all right. Like, that's it, especially with there being five of us, like you just touched on then, like the pay you get from a gig between five is fuck all. Like, unless you pay, like, and hopefully, like, it's where it's going to fucking pay dividends in the future when we're hopefully doing bigger shows and getting an actual fucking
decent wage. When we're not skidding all, we kit it, don't we? We try and, like,
yeah, yeah,
with the recording.
We all look after, on a real note, we all do. We all do look after each other.
So we don't really, what we have been doing is the money we have got from gigs, literally, like, apart from the last one, because we're all skids.
Last two,
because we're all skids. The money's just being put in the kitter, and then that went towards recording one week, get a video done,
like that. That's the best thing to do with it. If you've got the means to do it, that's the best way to do it. But like,
if you've got a sensible
then, like,
person around you, give it them.
That's why it goes in my bank. That's where the kit is.
But then, one of my older bands is that we made a PayPal account. And all the money that we made went into that PayPal account, and then we just like collected.
That's what we usually do. But like you just said, the last few gigs we've been like all on our own.
Started up a bathroom company with a lad, but then
plug it, lad. Yeah.
No, it wasn't for him though, and he left. So like, I had to start again. So I didn't have to work, but that's saying for all these steps up. So like, we'll cover your charge practice. We'll get you a few drinks.
Practice,
so we can always stay together.
It's not so bad, because like. Because there is fucking five of us. What is it like?
It's like seven.
Like,
that's all right.
But yeah. Mate, 4 hours in a room. Once you're in that room, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Play some music. Piss about. Have a drink. You know what I mean?
So for those 4 hours, how much are you paying in a studio? Like, where are you? Where are you guys?
It might get a discount.
Yeah. Catalyst St. Helens. That's where we practice, and that's like in the practice room. So we've got a locker there as well where we keep all our shit. And that comes
don't
to about.
Don't tell people that.
Hey, Jake. So he's got.
It's me, Dad.
Jake's sound.
It is a lovely mansion that he owns for his mum and dad.
Oh, the personal home studio. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Jake's a rich boy.
Every band needs.
There's
one.
A studio.
And then hang on, lads. I've got no money. Me dad has, and me mum has. I'm skint. but to be fair, that's like that has helped us a lot. They've really helped me out.
No, it's a studio, and then 10 steps away there's a bar. It's fucking boss.
This answers all.
Oh, there's a Pac-Man machine.
Arcade machines in the bar.
So I don't know if I'll get in trouble for this, but fuck it. In lockdown, when we're supposed to be together, it's like you're allowed to do stuff as work. But you're not allowed to socialise. But we had gigs booked in. So it's like, well, we've got to practice, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what I used to do was I used to go with my jogging gear, because at that time I literally lived 5 minutes away from him, and I used to just jog around. So if I got pulled by the police, I'm exercising, do you know what I mean?
But this one night,
me, Jake and Nathan had a therapy session, big bonding session, till 4 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, just get a taxi, lad. I said, all right, then. So in the taxi, got up at the top of the streets, got out, police car. Bang, straight behind me, the taxi sped off, had me some beers, my laptop, my notepad, my microphone, all my leads, all in my bag like that. I was like, where have you been? I was like, I've been to band practice. I was like, I'm fucked here, I'm getting fined. Anyway, did you put my name in the system? Fucking blew up, I'm only joking. I just told him, like, look, it's kind of like a grey area, where you stand with it when it is work, but it's, you know, it's practice. And he let me off, the guy, fair enough, soon he let me off. But it's just stuff like that, what we've had to do just to get to this stage at the minute.
I love it, mate.
It's brilliant.
Some situations we get in because of it being
a drummer.
Being around each other, do you know what I mean? That's the thing. Like finding a minibus on the day of a gig, it's like, we're like, yeah, we'll do it. And it's like, you don't know how the fuck you're going to do it, but you still fucking do it.
That's the thing, though. That's what I'd say to bands like who would have to fucking start. And someone as well, you've got to be mates first. You've got to fucking get on with each other. You've got to be like...
We also got to take risks as well.
You've got to love it. And like you said then, you've got to take risks, like you just said then, like, because we'll be like, yeah, fucking hell, we'll do a gig in London. And then we'll get to the day, we'll be like, how the fuck are we getting to this gig? It's like, you've got to fucking put yourself out there and take that risk and take that leap to go, right, yeah, we'll fucking do that here. We'll sort shit out.
You cross that bridge when you come to
by hook or by crook, we'll do it.
Like, importantly, you've got to believe in what you're doing.
You just say yes, basically, and then deal with it.
You've got to believe in what you're doing. best songs we've had, and it's been like, I'm not keen on that. It's been put on the back burner, and then it's been brought back out again. It's like, no, this is a tune. You have faith in the song. We've adapted it. The song's grown. It's like, that's a fucking tune. I'm so glad that didn't get slipped.
Well, that's just, what you're talking about, Mozart, though.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically saying,
so this is a
tell
good concept.
Tell them about the tune, lad.
I want to start from the beginning.
Right.
How long have we got?
From a kid, I've always wanted a dog, right? I always wanted a beagle. Yeah.
Well, this is how it starts.
This is how it started.
This is how it starts.
So, my ex was really like, so, yeah, we'll get a dog then. So, I've made up the dog with a cunt. Like, it ate the bed, it ate everything. But I loved this dog. I loved it more than her, to be honest. Like, it was my little baby. And then she's like, that dog's going. I was like, you're never going to take my beagle. Right? So, I tried to make a song about my beagle, but I couldn't. So from beagle, I got Beatles. I thought, I'm going to make a song about the Beatles. So I made a song about the Beatles, and the lyrics of the song are song titles
and then
from the
Beatles.
Nice.
Right, and it's called Mop Tops because they've been known as the Mop Tops. And it's such a simple song, but it's
give us a few bars, Andy, lad.
Go on, Andy.
Yeah, give
go on, Andy.
Are you doing it with me?
Okay.
You should have gone.
I live my life just like the Beatles.
Sniffing Sergeant Pepper.
Makes me sneeze loads.
It's been a long day's night. It's
for me,
hard
though.
Day's night. Here comes the sun.
I need a holiday.
I'm leaving in a yellow submarine. My ticket to ride.
I got for free, bro.
So baby, love me, dear.
I let it be so.
You can twist and shout.
Strawberry Fields.
Hey.
So I live my life like the Beatles. obviously, it's sung out better than that.
Sounds good when we do it live. Like.
You put me on the spot. I've not had enough alcohol. I'm getting his own. I feel like you've really pressured me. I'm not sort of got for now.
You sounded like a cross between Fergie and Jesus. That was fun.
Why are you pretending you're shy?
Do you know what I felt like then? I felt like him. My stepbrother's little foul was like, what he's trying to say.
No, but when he first said that to me, I was like,
do you know what I mean?
It's different. It's different. Like, heard of using her shit, but it's like, who the fuck else thinks of that shit?
That's where my twisted man. Mentally challenged, unbalanced people, but it's my
shit. No, but it works. It works, doesn't it? Fucking works.
There's a rapper called Akala, one of his biggest.
Akala?
Yeah, Akala. Brilliant. Fucking love him, man.
Just two. Five in the Booth 1 and Five in the Booth 4. Brilliant.
Well, his song Shakespeare does that, so he uses all 52 Shakespearean
titles.
And his whole rap is based on going through them one by one in the order.
So he's copied off me then, yeah.
I think he's a Kane and God.
We've got 70 minutes, so I suppose what we tend to do at the end is just whatever you've next got coming out. Do you want to talk about your next gigs
and got,
promotion stuff?
We've got our first tunes released now on Spotify, 1 week, by Kane, obviously.
I think
with a K. The next gig we've got is
the Boulevard in
Wigan on Friday the
13th.
We're not
fucking tell
you. I didn't even know what we were playing until two days ago.
The
next book one we've got is Boulevard and Wigan Friday the 13th. I think tickets are out for that. They'll be on our Instagram and stuff like that. It won't go out till after the gig.
We're trying to get one in Leamington Spa at the moment as well. In Tigs and Twigs. That's where we're looking at the moment. Probably fair for end of May. In Birmingham.
The last question I've got to ask you boys. Why did you change your name from Kane to a C?
Because there's some cunt on Spotify who's already got
a
C.
I'm fair with a Kane.
I was fuming and now over.
I think it's better with
the
K.
He's 20.
Right, well, thanks for coming on, guys.
I'll give a shout out to my newborn niece, got born today. She gets a shout out. I've not met her yet, was meant to, but she came here instead.
Shout out to my mum for birthing a legend. Never met him yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's pronouns.
No worries.
Thank you very much, Ronald.
We all get a little picture of us all there.
Thanks for tuning in to Making a Mentor. If you want to support Caned, you can stream their new single 1 week on all major platforms. And if you want to come on and talk to us, DM us on social media or email us at contact@makingamentor.co.uk.